Well, you know my theory. It's the 20% of the people on the far right and the 20% on the far left that are ruining this country for the rest of us. We deserve better.
The Andy Finn Show. Something special in the airwaves.
We deserve better.
We are back on the Andy Finn Show, and we're talking global warming. Specifically, we are talking about the Fox News, what do you call it, news special report on global warming that whitewashed the issue and claimed that we have a debate on our hands. Well, we're going through it tonight point by point and pointing out that their experts are not stacking up too well against the rest of the scientific community. So let's see if there's anything left. Is there one more clip here, Danny, on the from the Fox News broadcast itself?
The temperature measurements in the troposphere, that's about the surface to, say, 35,000 feet, don't show a very dramatic warming. And climate models in general have a different answer, that they say if greenhouse gases are causing the warming of the planet, then that upper air should warm even faster.
Okay, so I'm not going to go into that. Scientists have dealt with his critique. It's too technical for us here, and we don't need to answer him point by point. He has not convinced his peers in the scientific community that he's right. In fact, they think he's still wrong. Let's go on, though, to the next cut, which is Fred Barnes talking about global warming. Now, you may know Fred Barnes. He's a Fox News regular contributor. He's often on Special Report with Brit Hume. They have a roundtable, and Barnes is always there, and he's always taken the conservative position because he's an executive editor with the Weekly Standard, Bill Kristol's conservative magazine, and he's not a totally ignorant guy. He just always has a conservative point of view. He's a 20%er, and so he's going to side with business on this and claim this isn't right. And of course, the other piece here that I should give you some context is that the movie about Al Gore's position on global warming, An Inconvenient Truth, has come out in theaters. And so conservatives are reacting to that. And of course, they would much rather poke fun at Al Gore and the fact that he has been talking about global warming for 20 years and wrote a book about it long ago. And they'd rather pick out things he said or things that some of these movies have put in rather than deal with the actual science, because they know the public won't understand the science. They don't understand the science. So why deal with the actual 99 out of 100 scientists that agree that global warming is real and has potentially catastrophic impacts awaiting us in 50 to 100 years? Why deal with that when you can just poke fun at Al Gore? But when we hear Barnes, I will stop. And I'll correct some of his misinformation.
Notice the key word that at the beginning of what Al Gore said. You know what that word was?
If.
And look, there's an hysterical position on global warming, and then there's a reasonable position. The hysterical position is to say that sea levels, based on some glaciers in some places melting, based on that, sea level's going to rise 20 feet. That's hysterical. Look. They're melting in some places. It's getting colder and greener.
Okay, stop. So he's right that that's a hysterical position. Scientists do not believe the 20 feet deal. Okay? Their models, you know, when you do modeling, you change the variables. I mean, you do this when you're doing sales projections in the corporate world. I went through it there. And you choose a low number, the lowest possible number that you might sell in a per month of a certain product. You choose the highest you might sell, and you choose some ranges in between. And then you run them through your model, and you see what your costs will be, what your income will be, what your profit will be. And then you settle on some intermediate range that makes the most sense in terms of what's possible. But those outside lows and highs are theoretically possible. They're just not likely. Well, I agree with Fred Barnes here. 20 feet isn't likely. It is hysterical. But that's not what science is saying. Scientists are not predicting that doom and gloom of 20 feet. This is not water world happening to us, right? But he's just said it's getting colder in Greenland, all right? So that is incorrect, okay? You will hear any number of people, pundits out there, running out a couple of studies that have been published by the naysayers. And it turns out when you take measurements in the middle of Greenland, the temperatures are getting colder in the middle of Greenland, and the ice pack's getting a little thicker. The same thing in Antarctica. It's getting a little thicker in the center. People like Rush Limbaugh and Fred Barnes, I hate to put him in the same category with Rush because he's a much more intelligent fellow, but they are picking and choosing those data points and saying, that's proof that we don't know for sure what's going on. No, actually, global warming theory would predict that the ice would get thicker in the center of Antarctica as it melts on the outside, and it would predict the same in Greenland. That's what the experts say, that those are absolutely consistent. In fact, to find something different would have been a surprise. So the naysayers are picking on these data points and saying, see, this is the proof we need. No, it's not the proof you need. You have to listen to the experts. Let's let Fred finish.
I mean, look at Alaska, where the glaciers are. It was warmer earlier in the century, the 20th century, then it got colder. Now it's gotten a little warmer again. The problem is that people like Al Gore exaggerate wildly and draw these conclusions that are just not substantiated by any evidence. I don't care what President Bush says. It's not known for certain or anywhere near certain whether the small increase in temperature over the last 100 years is caused by man or not. It's just simply not known.
Stop right there. So he is absolutely incorrect about that. Now, what's interesting is I haven't seen the Al Gore movie, so I'm not going to comment about whatever may be said in the movie and whether he's exaggerating wildly or not. I suspect he may not be, but I don't know for sure. But what's interesting was when Barnes says, I don't care what President Bush says. See, Bush has admitted recently, he has been convinced by the science people in the White House, that in fact, not only is global warming real, some of it is man-made. And that was what he was resisting when he came into office. He was resisting that conclusion and saying more research is needed. He has now accepted that conclusion. Fred Barnes does not. He's saying it's not known for certain or anywhere near certain whether it's caused by man or not. Again, he's siding with the one scientist when there's 99 on the other side saying, we think it is happening. We're convinced it's happening. And the one scientist saying, no, it's not. And he's siding with the one and saying, see, we have a disagreement. Therefore, it's not certain. That is disingenuous. And that is intellectually dishonest. We're not going to listen to the rest of Fred Barnes. Let's move on to the clip from number four. This is, what's his name? Hemmer. What is Hemmer's first name? It's Bill Hemmer on Fox News Live on May 24th. And he's interviewing former governor of Delaware, Pete DuPont, a very rich man, a Republican, and a Wall Street Journal columnist who just did an editorial in which he took on Al Gore's Inconvenient Truth and basically made the same claims that climate models don't show what the majority of scientists say it's showing, and he's picking and choosing his evidence. And we'll listen to a little of this, but it's more of the same. Let's see if it's worth listening to.
Former Delaware Governor Pete DuPont is with me today. Governor, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bill.
You wrote a pretty convincing piece in the Wall Street Journal yesterday.
So, you wrote a pretty convincing piece in the Wall Street Journal yesterday. He starts with that. Now, this is a non-scientist reading the work of a non-scientist and being convinced. Why is Bill Hemmer convinced? Because he was already of this opinion. There's nothing convincing about DuPont's article. He's using research that has already been discredited by the 99 scientists on the side of truth, justice, and the American way. I might be getting a little carried away, but you know what I mean. Let's listen to Pete DuPont a little more.
Warming, as it relates to Al Gore's claim, is what?
Well, I think it is more fiction than fact. And when you look at some of the statistics that go back to the first Earth Day in the spring of 1970, you see what's happening. The U.S. population is up 42%. The miles driven by Americans in cars is up 178%. And the gross domestic product in the country up 195%.
You know, let's stop this. I listened to this clip before. There's nothing here. He talks about we have more bald eagles and we have more forests. Things are getting better in the environment. I think we're making progress. I'm sorry. I've got the transcript right here. This is just drivel. So he wants to make the claim eventually, and it's a couple minutes long here, that what's going on is that the majority of global warming is caused by solar radiation. And he cites a study put out by the National Center for Policy Analysis that he talks about in the column. And he says, and I'm associated with that organization. Well, you may be, but the 99 scientists that are in agreement on this, the 99% of scientists, are not associated with the National Center for Policy Analysis. They have already critiqued that study and found it to be wanting. Okay, so again, this is the naysayers latching on to minority reports and claiming that we have a debate here. We do not have a debate. Let's go on to the second ad from the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and they take on the issue of global warming more directly.
You've seen those headlines about global warming. The glaciers are melting. We're doomed.
Stop it. That's right there. We're doomed? Now, there's no headline saying we're doomed. Time magazine did say be afraid, be very afraid. And I guess this is partially a disservice. You notice that they are not, as no one else in this program has, they are not addressing the actual claims of scientists in the scientific literature. They're poking fun at the mass media like Time magazine that take the issue and put out a scary headline about it, because that'll sell more magazines. You know, earlier in the show, we played the clip where the Fox host David Asman said, this is a case of if it leads, it bleeds. He was wrong about that as well. That is an old maxim in journalism that is essentially suggests that if you've got good pictures, it could be a bloody face, somebody was in a fight or a knifing, or you've got a dead body, or you've got a fire, or you've got a fire engine racing, or you've got an explosion, an accident, a crash, any of that stuff is great theater. And so the pictures appear on the front page of the newspaper, the local section, or the video appears on TV. That's what it means by if it leads, it bleeds. In fact, scientific studies are notoriously bad stories for the mass media. How do you explain to somebody that the polar ice caps are melting a few inches faster this year than they were last year? That's like watching paint dry. It is not if it bleeds, it leads. That is the hardest thing to convey in the mass media. So what magazines like Time do is they put out headlines, be afraid, be very afraid, to get people's attention to sell more magazines. But the scientists aren't saying that. The scientists are saying our best estimates are as follows. And then what happens to it when it gets out in the public discourse and in the policy arguments happens to it? What scientists find they have to do is that if they are as mild-mannered as they are in the research, because there's a certain etiquette for scientists, and I've written these kinds of papers, you are required by the etiquette to qualify your arguments. That is, when you get to the end of making your case, you have to highlight the shortcomings of your study. This is not like op-ed writing, where you read George Will, and although he's a smart man that knows both sides of the argument, he only presents one side. You're not allowed to do that in science. You have to show that you've considered other angles. You've considered other interpretations for your results. You've considered where you might be wrong. You've considered what is needed for future research and what the limitations of your study and your conclusions are. That's science. The problem is, when you get out in the policy world and the public discourse, you get a Senator Inhofe that says, it's all a hoax. Then scientists step forward and they say, you know, it's not a hoax. Turns out we got 99 scientists over here and they've only got one. And we think the one guy's work is not worth the paper it's written on. So we're pretty sure what we're saying. They have to come down like that and come down strong. In general, scientists prefer to say, we'll let the data speak for themselves. The problem is the average citizen, the average senator, the average talk show host isn't qualified to interpret the data. and they don't understand the subtleties in the way the scientific research is written. So you end up with websites like Schneider's of Stanford, where he has to take a strong stand and say, you know, some of this stuff that people are saying is crap. So let's let the Competitive Enterprise Institute continue with their ad.
That's what several studies supposedly found. But other scientific studies found exactly the opposite.
Okay, stop. So what's interesting is they're saying what several studies supposedly found. They're not even claiming that the 99 scientists on the one side actually found it. They're saying they supposedly found it. But then they say the old argument that's always used by the naysayers in a debate like this, but other studies found just the opposite. It's true, a couple of scientists have put out those findings, and they put it out in good faith. They believed it when they put it out. But it has since been accounted for. It's since been debunked. There are no studies out there that are considered reputable by the majority of people in the field that contradict global warming. There is no raging debate about it in the scientific community. That is, there's no debate about whether or not it's happening. There's no debate about the rate at which it's happening. And there's no debate about whether or not man is causing a sum of it. Now, when I say there's no debate about how much is happening, there is a range, okay? But the scientists are pretty happy with the range they've got of how much of it's going on. And it might come in a little low, might come in a little high. They expect it to come in at the average that they've estimated. But they won't be surprised if it fluctuates some. But the other studies they're talking about in this ad are saying, no, 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 it's not a problem. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to do anything. We can stick our heads in the sand and go back to watching American Idol.
Greenland's glaciers are growing, not melting. The Antarctic ice sheet is getting thicker, not thinner.
Stop it there.
You've seen those headlines about...
I've already dealt with that. That is a misinterpretation of the data. That data fits perfectly with the global warming models. And these folks should know it by now. And so if they haven't pulled the ad, because this ad has been heavily criticized in the week or so it's been out by the scientists that say it's a misrepresentation of the facts. It's a tissue of lies. Let's let her finish.
Did you see any big headlines about that? Why are they trying to scare us? Global warming alarmists claim the glaciers are melting because of carbon dioxide from the fuels we use. Let's force people to cut back, they say. But we depend on those fuels to grow our food, move our children, light up our lives. And as for carbon dioxide, it isn't smog or smoke. It's what we breathe out and plants breathe in. Carbon dioxide, they call it pollution. We call it life.
I call it Drek. So when we come back, I'm going to finish up this show with one more segment that will outrage you.
You tell of a man who took $100, spent it on lottery tickets and beer, won a couple million, left his wife and children, lived himself to death in a couple of years, should have spent it.